From the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studio, here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. And Denver Nuggets fans, this is it. History in the making. A sweep of LeBron and the Lakers. They punched their ticket to their first NBA Finals. And now they await the Miami Heat, who will dispose of Boston most likely tonight. But it's coming soon. Trust me. Even if the Celtics somehow find a way to win in Miami, that series will not be going close to seven. So, I mean, for the most part, I think we're going to have a week to wait before basketball is played again, which is the only downer of this whole thing. I mean, you know, they don't play till June 1st for game one of the NBA Finals, which means that if tonight's game is the end of the Boston Celtics playoff run, we have to wait a week. Actually, we have to wait 8 days. So we have to wait till next Thursday. And, you know, that's just the way it was arranged, and I get it. You can't move it up. You have national TV and everything else you've planned it for, so I understand all that. But let's talk about last night for a second as we begin things. Adrian, when the game was at halftime yesterday, I was like, wow, LeBron has put out all the stops. I mean, 31 at halftime, 4-4 from downtown, carrying this Lakers team on his shoulders. I mean, that was it. You know, they scored at the time 73 points. They had a 73-58 lead, 15 points at the break. And you're like, wow, Lakers showing something. LeBron showing something. And then came the third quarter. And the Nuggets outscore the Lakers 36-16 to take the lead and never relinquish it. I mean, the Lakers had to play comeback basketball the rest of the game, and they couldn't get it done. And, you know, you look at last night's line. I mean, LeBron did not play well in the second half. He only scored 9. He did not shoot the ball. Anthony Davis, 21 points on 6 of 15 shooting. Nobody else really stepped up. I think they only hit 1 3-pointer in the second half. It just was not good. And, you know, you can't put this one on LeBron. You can't. I mean, he was a one-man show. And then, unfortunately, nobody else really picked it up when you needed them to in the second half to help carrying him over. And that last play with 4 seconds left when the Lakers were down 2, LeBron gets the ball. They double. Jamal Murray, like, gets his hands perfectly in the basketball to where when LeBron was trying to go up with it, Murray had him tied up, and there was no foul. It was completely clean. And when he got regained the basketball after he went up and just was tied up, the game was over. I mean, clock expired. He wasn't fouled. I was like, wow, what a fitting way for the Nuggets to beat the Lakers. The best player on the Lakers gets the basketball with a chance to tie the game, and Denver just D's them up and makes sure that they finish that game the way it was intended to, which is great defense. And all you could say is the Nuggets are they're a terrific basketball team. Nikola Jokic, time after time after time in that fourth quarter, big shot after big shot. I mean, he was unbelievable. And you want to know something? We said it earlier. It's not so much that the Lakers were an inferior team and were swept by the Nuggets. I mean, the Nuggets were just the best team, and it wasn't even questioned. It wasn't like the Lakers lost these games. The Nuggets just beat them. The Nuggets are better. They're deeper, more talented, better coached. I mean, you could just go all the way up and down the list. You know, this is not like if the Lakers played the Nuggets again, it would be a different series. Why? No reason. I mean, the Lakers, they were built to get to a certain point. They did. And unfortunately for Lakers fans, they just didn't have enough, Adrian, to try to even win a game against these Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, first off with the Denver Nuggets, they finally do it. They finally get to the NBA Finals. I'm so happy for all their fans. It's been such a long drought for them, and they deserve this. You can make the argument, if Jamal Murray was healthy over the past two postseasons, they could be playing in multiple finals through this three-year stretch. The way Jokic is playing in the postseason, the way that they've had role players like Aaron Gordon step up last night, I thought he was fantastic.
He was.
Denver was relentless. They go down 15 points, and that doesn't even faze them. They go on that massive run to end the first half, then to start the third quarter, and it really carried them to that victory yesterday. And you know what? I give them all the credit for clamping down defensively, having more of the energy throughout that game, and really putting it on Anthony Davis. I mean, I just thought that AD, with that matchup against Jokic, he was frustrated. When Jokic made that Larry Bird shot, that was the step back, and they went and reviewed it, and it ended up being a three-pointer. It's frustrating when AD is doing everything he can to guard Jokic, and he's still making these wondrous shots. But that is just the best player in basketball right now, Nikola Jokic, showing what he can do against some of the top big men in this league, like Anthony Davis. I was so impressed by the Lakers in the way that they started that game.
Yeah, I was
LeBron
too.
Killed it. 31 of his 40 points in the first half. I loved it. Maybe exuded a little too much energy early on. That's the one thing that you could say, because he plays all 48 minutes. He gets all the blame when it's all said and done on social media. Not by us, but by other people who want to point the finger of blame. And I get it. Look, he has two opportunities to close out that game in a late game situation. 1-3 that was bricked. We talked about it. He's not a good three-point shooter in this postseason, but he does it based on fatigue. And I felt like this whole stretch, that final stretch of that game, fourth quarter, third quarter, he was giving everything he had. That's probably why he said the comments in the postgame the way that he did about being non-committal on next year, or just, you know, thinking over retirement, which I don't think is even close to be the case for LeBron James. I could not see him walking away after that one.
I can't either. But I get it. You're right. I mean, he gave you everything he has. Wasn't enough. We'll never know if Anthony Davis is healthy, if it's a different series. But I felt like, you know, Anthony Davis, even whatever he was at, whether it was 75%, 80%, 60%, whatever it just wasn't good enough. Not against Nikola Jokic. Nah, it wasn't even close. And, you know, the thing is this. Jamal Murray, he feasted on the Lakers in this series. He really did. I mean, it's a terrific 1-2 punch. And then they got a good supporting cast. You mentioned it. You know, there are guys that just step up and on a regular basis and get it done. And, it seemed like, you know, three-pointers were contagious. The Nuggets don't miss threes in the second half. The Lakers couldn't hit one. And truth is that, you know, it's not exactly like the Lakers didn't give you everything they had. They did. They gave you everything they had. But it wasn't good enough. Wasn't good enough to win a game in this series. They were competitive. They were close games. They were never blown out, Adrian. But when they needed big buckets down the stretch, they just did not have an answer for what the Denver Nuggets delivered time after time after time.
Right, and that makes me think, what's next in the offseason for the Lakers? Because if you did not have the answers to go four rounds deep in the playoffs, what's next? LeBron James will be 39 years old in December. He just came off a third-team All-NBA selection, meaning he's one of the top 15 players in the league still. But you see the age on him. You see that he's wearing down in some of these late-game situations, and he has to probably need, you know, he needs another shot creator on this team the way it stands right now. I don't know if that's asking too much, though, when you already have Anthony Davis, who will be making upwards of $40 million next year. We mentioned this yesterday, but LeBron's over $50 million next year, so you got over $90 million tied between your two stars. Not a lot of flexibility there when you know that you have to re-sign Rui Hachimura and Austin Reeves this offseason. They're going to have to hope that they get a lot of veteran minimum contracts come their way to try to build out this roster for next season, but I get the frustration. I get the exhaustion from LeBron James going at, you know, bouncing out of the Western Conference Finals. And he said it himself, this was not a successful season, knowing that they did not play for a title. And I like that mentality by him. He's a title or bust guy. He does not care about, you know, moral victories on his end.
It's the way it should be, right? It really is the way it should be. Now,
100%.
The truth is, once again, we're talking about a 38-year-old who's been playing in the NBA for the last 20 years. How many players, the greats, the all-time greats, can we actually say 20 years into their run could be as dominant as LeBron still is? I mean, he's in his own league. Nobody was like this. Nobody. Including Jabbar, who, granted, when he was finishing up his career, was a shell of the player he once was. He still had the sky hook. But Jabbar wouldn't be dropping 30 or 40 on you at the age of 38 in a big moment. This wasn't the case. Didn't have to. Look what he had around him. He had Magic. You had Worthy. You had Cooper. You had Rambis. You had a really nice team. Really nice team. You know, you never needed that. But, you know, LeBron is still, he's the alpha male on this team. Not Anthony Davis, LeBron James. And, you know, that 1-2 punch can go so far. But how do you attract enough of a supporting cast for the veteran minimums to try and beat a team like Denver next year? I don't know how you do that.
Right, and how exhausting was this year for LeBron just mentally, knowing, hey, we really traded what we could at the trade deadline. A lot of guys on expiring deals for the future. How do you run it back so quickly next year with just the same squad? You can't, in my opinion. You have to make some kind of change. You have to look elsewhere. Maybe it's letting D'Angelo Russell walk away here in free agency when it happens. Maybe it's letting, you know, exploring trade possibilities with some of the current guys on their roster and seeing if they can upgrade their backcourt a little bit better and, you know, move on from guys like Schroeder, because I think that Schroeder is a nice complimentary point guard to your team, but he's not the answer. He's not somebody who could set you over the top. You need somebody who's going to hit shots like Jamal Murray. Look at the other side. Denver shows time and time again why they bet on Jamal Murray, why they stuck with him through that injury, and they're reaping all the rewards right there of having him on their roster because he's a fantastic shot maker in these late game situations.
You think LeBron and Anthony Davis would ever take less money to try to build a better team?
Yes, I do.
You do?
I do. I think that LeBron has to understand, he has to look inward. If he is the third best player on a championship team, that is the recipe to success. And I think that that's you know, an honest and true thing for all of this. With Anthony Davis maybe being the top banana, he's got to step into that role where he is that alpha, he is that leader, and then get the secondary scorer who's going to help out the team. LeBron does not need to be the number one anymore. That's what he needs to figure out this offseason, and I hope that both those guys can look inward and say, hey, look, let's do this for the better of our team. Let's bring in somebody else. But to do that, we have to take a salary cut. Hey, some of the greats have done it before. Tom Brady did it with the Patriots and his runs with the Bucks. So why not do it here with LA?
In the NBA, are you allowed to break up and rip up a guaranteed deal and renegotiate it?
You're able to restructure your contract. So if he wants more years on that, which LeBron is notorious to do, he'll do, you know, he'll tack on an extra year and then he'll have a player option. So it kind of puts that the franchise into a little bit of a like kind of a back against the wall. They have to make certain moves. They can't just hit the reset button on him. So I could see them restructuring something to where they have a little bit more flexibility than they do right now.
Yeah, they do. They need something different, because you're right. I mean, it's, you know, it was a great run. It was a great run. They beat Golden State in this run.
Right.
Terrific. I mean, if you really think about it, the Lakers had a tougher road to the NBA Finals than the Nuggets did.
Yeah, I would say so. And you can maybe even make the argument on the Eastern Conference side of things as well. I feel like with the Lakers, having to go through the defending champions and the Warriors, I get it. They weren't at full strength. Having to go up against the second seed in Memphis in the opening round, I get it. They had some off-the-court issues with Ja Morant. And having to even play their way into the playoffs, having to go into the NBA play-in tournament, their backs were against the wall. They had all the adversity all season long. They were a bad basketball team midway into this year. And so the way that they finished out. I know that LeBron will never say it, but I'll say it. I think it was a successful season for the Lakers.
Yeah, I would love to hear that from Laker fans today. So if you would like to get in, you can give us a call, 505-6009. That's our telephone number, 505-6009. And when you think about it, yeah, the Lakers, they will have an interesting offseason. They really will. Because according to at least next season, as Adrian mentioned, LeBron is going to make about $47 million. And Anthony Davis is making 40.6. The only guaranteed contracts left on this team are Jared Vanderbilt at $4.5 million and... Let me see, or $4.7 million, and Max Christie at $1.7. That's it. Nobody else is considered a guarantee for next season. There's a couple of non-guaranteed deals. Malik Beasley, Mohamed Bamba, Shaquille Harrison. But they don't play anyway, so what does it matter?
Yeah, I could see them moving on from those deals right there. Maybe Malik Beasley is somebody you can convert to, a shorter term or a longer term deal, but on a shorter per year deal as far as money goes. But that, speaking of that, Jared Vanderbilt deal at $4.6 million, that's an absolute steal. You have to try to see what you could do to build around Jared Vanderbilt. I like him as a player.
No, and Austin Reeves is a steal because the qualifying offer for him is $2.1 million. That's the restricted early bird rights.
Yeah.
So you know Austin Reeves is coming back.
Right. Even if another team offers him, the Lakers will 100% match the offer sheet.
The interesting thing is going to be the restricted bird rights for Rui Hachimura. The qualifying offer is $7.7 million, but the cap figure is $18.7 million.
Right, and he can get a little bit more. Like, let's say somebody like the Golden State Warriors wants to overpay for Rui Hachimura, then the Lakers will have to try to match that offer right there. Yep. They'll have the first rights.
Yeah, I'm interested. So anyway, it's going to be an interesting offseason. Congrats to the Denver Nuggets. They still have work to do, whether it's Miami or by some miracle the Boston Celtics, which I say is little to no chance that happens. But, hey, still got to play the games, right? You do. We'll talk about it with you. But let's talk to Charlie One first. He's standing by and has our first traffic update of the afternoon. Back here on Sports Talk as we continue. Keep it going on the community project for Alicia Barone regarding UTEP students. We're nearing 80. We want to, our goal is 100. For those of you that missed the show yesterday, Alicia started this terrific survey for UTEP students, asking them about sports and football and why they go, why they don't go, what they want. It's really nice. We're almost at 100. That's our goal. We want to get to 100. So if you're listening or if you know a student, then you can just help get that done. Let's get her over the hump. Let's get her another 21 people filling it out and get to 100, Adrian. That would be great.
Yeah, that's a very attainable and achievable goal, I think, based on the way that we've been pacing so far. Very happy in how this is going. And I think this will give a great representation as to what the student involvement looks like on both on the positive and the negative side of things.
I agree. Totally agree. Meanwhile, you know, I'm looking right now at next year's Denver Nuggets salaries and roster situation. They're all coming back. I mean, I don't know if you've looked at this. Nikola Jokic will be making about $47 million. Jamal Murray's making $33.8 million. Michael Porter Jr. is making $33.3 million. Aaron Gordon's making $21 million. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's making $14.7 million. Bruce Brown is a player option at $6.8 million. You've got guys like Christian Braun, Peyton Watson. They're still making. I mean, the core is back. That's the crazy thing right now for the Nuggets. I mean, you know, there are certain players that have some two-way deals, but hey, this nucleus isn't going nowhere right now. It's a pretty impressive situation since the Nuggets roster will be back next year and they're in the NBA Finals right now. Good for them. It's the way you build a team. And you want to know something? There's no reason why they can't go back next year. You watch how this team plays. This team is really, really good. And that's one of the reasons why I'm saying You know, it's not so much that, you know, the Lakers, couldn't get it done. How about the fact that the Nuggets are just that good? I feel like that's the message we really should be putting out here. Too many people are just looking at this Lakers failure as, you know, the Lakers lost the series. No, they didn't lose the series. The Denver Nuggets are just better and beat them. Simple as that.
That's right. I felt like everybody needs to give the credit that the Denver Nuggets deserve of just being one of the more dominant teams right now. I mean, look at what we've seen. We've seen the top seed in the West take control all year long like Denver has, and then they win the West. Isn't that how it's supposed to happen when the top seed wins? Now, on the flip side, conversely, in the East, you have the eighth seed who barely made the postseason when it was all said and done, upset the top seed overall in Milwaukee, beat the New York Knicks in the second round, and now they're on their way to possibly sweeping the Boston Celtics, who came in as one of the top seeds in the East. So it's a tale of two teams who might find their way here into the NBA Finals.
Hey, I would be shocked if the Celtics win tonight. I really
Me
would.
Too.
I think the Celtics are done.
Yeah, I feel like it's time for the offseason for that team. It seems like something needs to change with that nucleus. It probably starts at the coaching spot, but then where do you go? Do you decide to deal away Marcus Smart after having him on your roster for so many years? Do you explore trade possibilities with Jaylen Brown, who is extension eligible after this season, could be getting a lot of money from the Boston Celtics when it's all said and done? What do you do if you're the Celtics going into this offseason? That's $1 million question if they get bounced out tonight.
No, you're right. The Celtics, well, first thing I would do if I'm the Celtics is get a new coach, because I really do think coaching has been an issue for this team in the postseason.
Agreed. I agree completely. I feel like, you know, sometimes coaching excuses could be more cop-out answers, but this is the time where I could point the finger with a lot of certainty saying that's where you need to change things if you're the Boston Celtics. And there's a lot of great coaches available out there. You have Monty Williams, the former Suns coach who got fired kind of unexpectedly. You have Nick Nurse, who's trying to find a home. He has an NBA championship ring under his side. And then you also look at Mike Budenholzer, he has to find a new spot as well. So a lot of great coaches available if you're the Celtics, maybe thinking about moving on from Joe Mazzulla.
That could be the case. And the question will be where do they go? You mentioned some of the options. I always wonder if Brad Stevens would ever go back to the bench.
I like that idea too, because then you could always get another president of basketball operations. I don't know if you could find a basketball mind like a Brad Stevens, though. So I like that option too.
Let's go to the phones. Gator Richard joining us next as we approach the bottom of the hour. Go Gators!
Go Gators. Hey, Steve-O, you remember when I called in maybe 10 days ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, and I said, hey, whatever happened to these NBA teams that pull a sweep? And then you went in to Google it and said, oh, the last time they did a sweep was 2003.
Yep.
That ain't going to happen anytime soon.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yep,
you
absolutely. Remember? I do.
You remember? So I was trying to prove a point, and then I don't know what it is with you and I lately, but you're always like trying to sharpshoot me, man.
And then you always come back with the last laugh and you call in just to tell me that you told me so. So I like that about you, Richard. That's good, because I'll be honest with you, I forgot about that call 10 days ago. So thanks for bringing it back up to me.
And then, you know, the other thing, you remember who I called to win the whole thing?
Who was it, Adrian? Who'd he call?
He called Boston.
Oh, yeah. Okay, he called the Celtics. All right. You still think they have a shot?
I mean, I love how you guys just, you know, summarily dismiss a Boston team when, I know it's a different sport and all, but, you know, when the Red Sox did the anti-sweep against the Yankees to make it to the finals, right, that year, because my compadre is a huge Yankee fan, and he's like, oh, dude, I'm not even watching it. It's over. It's over. You know, Yankees are in the World Series. And then the Red Sox pulled it off, man, down, you know, 3-0, and they pull it off and they win.
See, here's the cool thing about you.
It's not over till it's over, man.
But you know what else is really cool? You can't lose. Like, if the Miami Heat win tonight, then that's a double sweep, which means you win again because you called in 10 days ago about the sweep. So now you're gloating because both final series, East and West, ended in a sweep, and you could tell me you told me so. And if the Celtics come back and miraculously win this series, you called it. So, I mean, Richard, no matter what, you're a winner. Like, you're not set up to fail on this call.
Well, you know, I don't want to rub your nose in it too bad, Steve, but, you know, to hear you and Adrian constantly patting each other on the back and agreeing, sickening, man.
Well, how about this, okay? I have to give credit where credit is due. And even though some of your calls are totally out there, the recent calls on this sweep and now the Celtics, I mean, hey, you know, you've been all right.
Don't forget about me telling you that the TCU spread, you know, Georgia was going to crush them. They should have doubled that spread. Remember that one? You were like, no way. You know.
Have you ever thought about just starting your own sports podcast on you know, just online? You start your own cast, and
I already own your podcast, don't I?
Well, let's put it this way. You have a lot to say, and you know there's only so much you can say in a 3 or 4 minute call to us every day. You imagine if you had like an hour or two to just get everything off your chest, especially with some of your conspiracy theories, that could turn into a very, very popular podcast.
Now look, you say it's a conspiracy theory, but that coach from Miami, he was paid $100,000 a game to lose. So and then of course, what happened with the Mavericks and they were sitting down all their big players, so what, they could get the number one draft pick. We forgot about that.
Yeah, how'd that go?
How'd it go?
Exactly. I mean, the Spurs, and think about it. Who got the number one pick? The Spurs, when it was all said and done. So
By the way,
another question. Okay, 1985, Knicks pick up Patrick Ewing. First ever NBA draft lottery. Was the Knicks envelope frozen like the conspiracy theorists believe?
You mean like two envelopes?
No. Was the envelope frozen? Meaning, was it cold? Did they put it in a freezer so that when David Stern was picking out the envelopes, he knew exactly which one to pick out for the number one overall pick? Did the Knicks have a frozen envelope? What do you think?
Well, you know what I used to do when I was a kid, right? You know those things like they had the door prizes for New Year's or whatever? I used to take my ticket and bend it in half. So when the guy's like reaching in there for the one, mine was always the one that had one end standing up. So I'd always win a door prize when I was a kid.
You knew how to do. People still do that. You know that when I give away radio prizes at remotes and live shows, some people bend their registration form because they feel that if nobody else does, I might reach for that instead.
Exactly.
Appreciate the call. Thanks for getting in today. Go research. Go look up the Knicks frozen envelope. You didn't know about that. I could tell. That was completely news to you, especially a guy like as well-read for conspiracies as you are. Go read up on the Knicks conspiracy theory envelope, frozen envelope, and let me know if you think it was true or not. As a Knicks fan, I absolutely believe that envelope was frozen.
I can't believe he doesn't know that conspiracy theory. Like, for being the conspiracy theorist he is, how does he not know that one? That's one of the best ones out there.
I agree with you. 34 passed. We went long with Richard. We'll make it up right now. SportsCenter next. If the Heat do indeed play the Nuggets in the finals, it's hard to bet against Jimmy Butler right now. He's been amazing. So that's the beauty of this NBA Finals. Now, I think it's going to have super low ratings, okay, because I don't think anybody cares about Miami and Denver. I mean, even though they truly are fun teams to watch with great storylines and they have plenty of stars. I mean, between Jokic and Murray and then, you know, Butler and Lowry and Adebayo on Miami, they're fun. They're just not, you know, they're not mainstream teams like some of the other ones out there. But the question is going to be this, okay? Right now, Nikola Jokic is the best player in the game. I don't think anybody is going to disagree with that. And Denver looks unstoppable. But, there's always a but nobody, including Nikola Jokic, nobody has been better in this postseason than Jimmy Buckets. Butler has been unbelievable. Unbelievable. And if they sweep Boston and they get ready for their series against Denver, it's tough to pick against Jimmy Butler, even if you are the Denver Nuggets and Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I would say this. To Richard's call, to his point about, hey, Boston came back, they flipped the script, the Red Sox way back when, and they came back from down 3-0. We've seen it in baseball, but when you go up against somebody like Jimmy Butler, who seems relentless in the way that he acts on the floor, the way that he leads his team, I'm not betting against him in this round. I'm not betting against the Heat to lose any game against Boston. Now, when they face Denver, that's like facing the best competition they've had all year long. Although you might make the argument that they may have already faced one of their toughest opponents in the Milwaukee Bucks, knowing what Giannis Antetokounmpo brings to the table. He was hurt in that series, but they still faced him in that closeout game, and they won. They came out on top. So I like the matchup for so many reasons. Heat, Denver. I feel like the travel part of it, the fact that it's South Beach versus Denver, kind of right in the Mountain West, or a Mountain time zone, I should say. Very interesting matchup all around. I'm really looking forward to it, even though it might have lower ratings whereas the Lakers would have been in it.
Agreed. Or the Celtics. So you're right.
Right.
When we come back, we'll get to Ray and more of your calls. 39 pass. Sports Talk continues as we take you up till 6:30. Chihuahuas take over the air at 6:30. They're back home against the 6 o'clock. Reno Aces at 6 right here. 600 ESPN El Paso.
What he's been to the team.
Well, I mean, you know it. I'm a big fan. I felt like he gave all he could to this squad right here. I felt like he is 38 years old, which won't allow him to go four rounds deep in the playoffs without help or, you know, some additional support beyond just Anthony Davis, who some nights you get the dominant Anthony Davis who can compete with the likes of Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid, and other nights you don't. So I've been a big fan of LeBron. I just don't think that he is the kind of player right now to hit that late game shot and be so reliant on somebody like that.
Ray, let me ask you this. Are you really surprised about what happened last night, in all honesty?
In all honesty, no, Steve, but what I am surprised at that I really honestly thought would not happen. I never thought they would get swept, and I never thought they would lose two in a row at home. I thought, like most, they were going to win game two. I really honestly believed I would put money, if I could have, on game two. They were going to come out and win that, which they were right there knocking on the door to do. I would have done the same last night, thinking there's no way they're going to go out. Again, having that man, LeBron James, on the team, he's not going out this way. But the way the game went, and he was on fire that first half, left it all out on the floor. And I know everybody's going to – go ahead.
He did. No, I agree with you. He left it all out on the floor. I'll say this. Listen, I mean – you got to realize something. Ray, you're a little older than me, but I watched everybody. I saw Jordan. I saw Dr. J. I've seen Bird. I saw Magic. Seen them all. And you want to know something? Nobody could do what he's done at age 38, 20 years into the NBA, the way he's done it. But the problem is he can't do it all himself. And I feel like sometimes he tries to shoulder that load, and he is their alpha male, maybe because other than Anthony Davis, they really don't have that third player that third option that they can rely on and go to time after time, the way they did when they had Lonnie Walker go off in that big victory over Golden State. That's what they need. They need other options. Adrian said that earlier. Hopefully they remake this team, and maybe LeBron will take less money next season if he knows that he can attract a third wheel that really is a dominant go-to player, so he doesn't have to try to do it all himself. Appreciate the call. Thanks for getting in today. All right, we'll keep things moving. Let's go to Foss, as in the Foss. Steve Foster joins us next here on Sports Talk. Foss, what's going on, man? How are you?
Well, I've got my guy, Chris Fernandez, with me as well.
Oh my God, we've got a special attraction today. We have laying on the law, like in person, just randomly calling in on a Tuesday. I love this.
Well, we just wanted to talk. Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was just saying we'd only do it for Cappy and Adrian.
This is off to a great start.
Yeah, you guys are a total disaster train wreck, but I like that. I mean, you're still giving it a shot,
well,
which is important.
No. We wanted to show the effect of what happens when you get swept. And we just wanted to call in the young Jedi, our man Adrian, And listen, what I'm trying to do, because I know everybody's saying LeBron did this at 38 and this and that. I think Kareem did something pretty similar when he was 38. He did the 19, 20 years in the league. But here's the point. The discussion that Adrian and Chris and I were having, and it may not be fair, but listen, life's not fair, okay? LeBron, I like LeBron. I think LeBron is a great, outstanding basketball player. I will never deviate from that. All I'm saying is you can't put him to where I think some people, and again, it's a choice, and again, we're all talking about opinion. I don't believe you can ever put him one. That's what I tried to convey.
I'm not putting him one. But
No, I didn't say you, Steve.
No, but I'm not putting him one. And by the way, I'm looking at you know, the numbers for Jabbar. They were consistent. Even through his age 38 season, he was still averaging 23 a game with, I think, 6 rebounds and 3.5 assists. He dropped off considerably.
Who was on his team, too.
What's that?
Consider who was on his team. So he could have, again, he and Magic could have scored many more points. But what they did was they made the people around them better.
Well, they had a better team. Listen, top to bottom, that was a team. I mean, they were loaded, loaded. You can't compare those NBA teams from those days to these days. It's completely different.
Yes, you can, because, Cappy, the teams that they were playing against, Mo Cheeks, Moses Malone, Dr. J, George McGinnis, Andrew Toney, Bobby Jones, Caldwell Jones, those dudes who beat the Lakers were just as good or strong and in the Hall of Fame, which we're going up to see the Spurs and the Mavericks send players into this year in Springfield, Massachusetts. So you can't say that they were playing against cream puffs.
You can't. But what I'm trying to tell you is this, okay? Kareem's last year, he was making $3 million a season. Okay?
But the
money's a big deal. Because in those days, you could spread the money around and build a really, really good team. Nowadays, when two guys take up $90 million in a salary cap league, how do you do that?
All right. Let's not get away from the issue at hand. Let's all say LeBron is a great player. But LeBron is not the greatest player. Can we all agree on that?
I'm fine with that.
I'm not.
No? Okay, listen.
I'm still on this on the other side.
All right, here's what we're going to do. Because the two of you called in the last 5 minutes of the hour, we're going to carry this conversation over to our 5 o'clock hour if the two of you have time. Do you both have time?
We can do that, and I'd love to hear Young Jedi.
No, I want to hear Chris Fernandez, who hasn't opened his mouth since the hello portion of this call. So
we're laying down the law. I had written the majority opinion in which he concurred. However,
now listen, I did not hear him concurring. Listen, no. Don't do that. Don't put words in his mouth. Do not put words in his mouth, Mr. Foster. All right, listen. When we come back, we'll let the two of you chime in with us as well. Okay? Fair enough?
Fair enough.
All right. More with our pals, Steve Foster, Chris Fernandez, laying down the law. The Sports Talk continues. 600 ESPN El Paso.
Property Schoolyard Sports Studio. Here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
Appreciate that, Buzz Adams. Thank you very much. Chihuahua's baseball coming up here top of the hour. Tim Haggerty will have it for you at 6 o'clock. And then tomorrow we got the day game. Playing a little hooky from base from work tomorrow. Watching a little Chihuahuas baseball. Back at home with the Reno Aces. Before the break, we were talking with the Foss and Chris Fernandez. Really the Foss. Oh, who, by the way, even took the liberty of saying before the end of the hour, Adrian, that he was speaking on behalf of Chris. But if he's speaking on behalf of Chris, why is Chris even on the phone to begin with?
You know what? I'll just be honest. The Brain Trust and I have had heated discussions throughout these weeks of the playoffs. Some that should not be repeated on this radio station, but the others, I mean, both of these were just attacks against the new generation. And I'll be honest, I was attacking some of the older generation of hoops, which I think that discourse, those arguments are tough to have at times. And I guess that's why we have both of them here today.
Do you still believe right now, before I bring them back, do you still believe that LeBron's the greatest basketball player of all time?
Yes, but I don't think that should be the discussion today.
I agree.
I feel like I hate the fact that we have to bring up this topic again. I will maintain this that, you know, I was solidified after the bubble championship. I crowned him right there. So I'm good with my stance, and I'll keep thinking that way.
Okay. That's fair. Let me bring them back right now. Welcome back, Foss. Chris, how are you guys?
Doing great. Doing great, Ken.
Okay. Foss, I've heard enough of you last hour. We'll bring you back in a second.
Well,
but hang on. No. Okay. No, I want to hear Chris. I'll be honest. No, I'm sorry. I just, you know, I've heard you, and I know where you are. I know where you stand. Chris, you could make this very simple and easy and say, I agree with everything Foss said, but I would like to just at least give you the platform, especially since, you know, your family could be listening to your call right now and let you chime in on what we were talking about last hour.
So, Cappy, here's where I stand on this. I will concur that LeBron James is a great player. Did he play great throughout the series? No, he didn't. Can he do it all on his own? Not at his age. So I agree with Adrian. I agree with him at that point. However, you know, I know that Foss brought this up earlier, you know, and Kareem played into his late 30s. He actually won two championships at that age, his last two championships, I'm not mistaken. The play of LeBron James, in my opinion, just does not equal the play of the greats in the 70s and 80s. He's a great player, but for him to claim himself as the greatest of all times, and I've seen video where he's done that, just doesn't mesh with me because he doesn't play the game the way a greatest player would play. He's weak. He's a weak player, in my opinion.
He went farther than I did. Oh, the justice went farther than I did. Oh, wow. Okay.
You know,
cool.
Yesterday, and I get it, Adrian, you said, you know, we made the comment of, you know, he takes I think the game prior, game three, he goes up for a dunk, loses the ball, goes up for a layup, hit the bottom of the rim for a layup. These are things that the greatest player doesn't do.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, there were videos circulating of MJ blowing dunks left and right after LeBron blew that dunk. So, yeah, it's not like MJ hasn't done that before.
Fair enough. Okay, let me put it this way. Not that I ever saw. And I'm not saying it didn't happen, but it didn't happen. And then, but other than that, you know, I just don't see the comparison in the way LeBron plays and some of the things that he does. He's soft. I do not think he could have played in the 80s with the teams of the 80s.
No, I'm listening to Foss laugh. Listen, okay. I think you guys are out of your mind. I'm going to tell you why, okay? Because everybody plays the way the game is played. Meaning that if LeBron was played, if you just transported him back into the 80s and he saw the way the game was played, he would adjust his style to fit the game that is being played on the court, as opposed to what the game has turned into and evolved today.
Okay.
But let me put it this way, Cappy. A drive to the rim is a drive to the rim.
Correct.
I've seen guys in the 80s go through three guys, get their face beat, get hit in the leg, get pushed around, and make the basket and not complain. LeBron can't do that. He gets fouled, he falls on the ground. He's you know, no, I don't think he could adapt to that.
As I would say on my show and everywhere, I think Chris's analysis is worser. He's really,
what is worser? You have a law degree. What is worser mean? Come on. Yeah, that law degree was free. Where'd you get it? And where can I get one?
Well, hey, let me tell you something.
Can I go to Nebraska and just get one like you did? Because that might be the easiest thing I need to do right now.
Cappy, there's a difference between communication and grammar. If you want to see all my grammar grades from first grade up, they're stellar. Okay? So communication. When you communicate, it's different than when you're speaking grammatically correct. I have a impeccable grasp of the King's and the Queen's English. Okay? So we're talking, right? We're talking sports, right? Do we all sit around like we're in AP English class when we speak about sports?
No, but if I was to ask, if I was to tell you somebody's worse than somebody else, I'm not going to say he's worser. Come on. Come on, Foss.
I use that. I say for emphasis, correct. I put the K on the end. People say, what do they say? For shizzle. Some people say
Instead, they say schmoove. Mm. Have you heard the word schmoove? It's not smooth. It's schmoove with a V-E. It's communication for emphasis. That's all.
Gotcha.
I'll speak.
All right, listen. Listen.
Here's my thing, real quick.
Yeah.
I started this conversation out that I like LeBron. I think LeBron is great. Don't miss that.
Is he an all-timer? Is he an all-timer?
But he is not the all-time greatest.
Is he an all-timer? There's a difference between being an all-time great and being an all-time player.
Okay. So, in the top 25, yes.
Top 10?
No.
No.
Wow. You guys are crazy. And the thing is, you're only like 5 years older than me. So we all watch the same players. I mean, as a kid, I remember Dr. J, okay? And I grew up with Magic and Larry. And then Michael and Zeke and Olajuwon and all those guys, the mailman. So we all grew up in the same era, same time period, okay? I didn't get to see Havlicek. I didn't get to see Russell. I didn't get to see Chamberlain. Neither did you.
Right.
But and if you did, you were young.
To me, the better comparison, which I think some people have said, and you have to listen because that voice is much quieter, is probably a comparison between Magic and LeBron. However, and I said this to Adrian, Magic played 12 seasons, so you got to take the first 12 seasons of LeBron. You can't add 13 to 25. Because he doubled it. You got to look at percentage. Magic was in the final eight out of 10 seasons back when they were killing each other, back when you had Mike. And you still got to the finals 8 out of 10 times, bro.
But you had teams in those days.
Oh, so now we're just saying individual. Okay, well,
Look what the game's turned into.
11 rings, Cappy.
But look what the game's turned into. You cannot compare the NBA in the 80s to this.
Okay,
you can't make that comparison. It's not accurate.
Let me say this. Jim Brown is the greatest running back of all time, regardless of where you drop him on the timeline. Even though Emmitt Smith, who I love, who is the all-time leading rusher, he is not the best running back. At least give me my position. It doesn't matter what the time frame is. Jim Brown is the greatest running back. Barry Sanders, very close, didn't win championships. But you got to look at it. I think you can do the same thing in basketball. You can do it in baseball.
Now,
you can't tell me because Babe Ruth was on the Yankees and the Yankees always won that's stacked and Babe Ruth wasn't a great player. He was.
Of course. He's an all-time great, okay? To me, Babe Ruth is an all-time great. Could be the greatest ever.
I'll give you LeBron being an all-time great, but he's not in my top whatever we say.
Okay, that's fine. Listen, I think if Michael Jordan played today, he'd be averaging 50 points a game.
Right, because it's a soft league compared to when he played.
If Jordan was to play LeBron James right now, it'd be a very close game at the ages they stand.
No, stop it. Michael's 60.
Wow! I told you.
Ridiculous.
This is ridiculous. Chris, I like that. Your takes are absolutely off the charts.
Adrian,
yeah.
I agree. I agree. It's a little far fetched, Adrian. I do, but I just wanted to say.
Adrian, let me ask this question. This is the one question I would like to ask you. I didn't really hear it, and maybe I wasn't listening. But what makes you say? What gives you to LeBron, who got swept now three times in the playoffs, what makes you have him the great? Because if you go team one way or go individual, what makes him that?
You guys value the rings and the dominance with the window of time that MJ was in or Magic was in. I get that. I value things like consistency and longevity. I value that. That's how I see greatness. I see greatness also when you look at statistical categories and realize LeBron James has a chance to be, he's already the all-time leading scorer. He's top five in assists, top time, top five all-time in rebounding. He has a chance to be top 10 all-time in career steals. So when it comes to the statistical achievements, he trumps anybody in that regard. And then you also look how he built up three different teams, and you can make arguments here and there with what he joined and what he didn't, but he had three different teams go to the NBA Finals and win. One, he joined a super team in Miami, which he talked about how he regretted at that moment. He joined the Cavs and willed that team to victory and won them their first NBA championship, and then went to the Lakers, built that franchise up, and then helped them win a title as well. So I value that. I value going to three different teams, dominating in three different cities, and building those teams up to championship contenders.
So then you would discount Kareem and Tim Duncan because they – well, actually, Kareem played on the Bucks and won a championship with them. But you would discount Tim Duncan, who played for 19 years with the Spurs, a 15-time NBA All-Star, 5-time champion, 7-time NBA All-Defensive team.
No, I would never okay. discount any of these guys. I respect the greatness of all these players, and I also appreciate where the game is going to right now. Shot making is right now better than it ever has been. The perimeter, the three-point game is better than it's ever been. I really love this game of basketball right now, and I appreciate the evolution. I'm going to be more accepting to the next great player to possibly be better than LeBron, Magic, MJ, all the guys you want to reel off, because I'm accepting that as the sport evolves, as the sport changes, it improves. It doesn't, get worse. That's not the case. Just because you don't like the product, just because you don't like the complaining, doesn't mean the product is devalued right now.
I like the product, but nobody in my estimation, I know I take the sport that I'm a little more proficient in, no one to me has topped Jim Brown as a running back. And no one
I'm not talking football,
Rice
man. I'm not talking NFL here.
Okay, so you can change your tune depending on sports.
No, I can appreciate the greats in football just like I can appreciate the greats that we're seeing in the NBA over time. Do I want to crown Jim Brown the greatest player of all time? I think Tom Brady, a new generation player, might have something to say against that.
I said greatest running back.
Exactly. No, I agree, but I'm saying when you put him against the all-time greats, if you want to talk point guards, then we can have that conversation.
Jim Brown is an all-time great. Yeah, Jim Brown is an all-time great. No, that's hands down in football. And you can ask the Hall of Famers.
We talked about Jim Brown being an all-time great. Nobody's disputing that.
Okay.
Nobody's disputing that. Listen, you guys, first off, we're out of time. Listen, I've given you guys 20 minutes. That's a long, long, long time. I mean, most of my listeners are going to be, or my callers are going to be upset, feeling like I'm showing favoritism. Now, granted, the two of you actually host the show, so you have street cred, not like just calling in.
But we host shows with you. And we love having Adrian on our show for the whole time. And we let him talk. We don't cut him off.
There you go. There you go. But listen,
excited to be with him in August.
I think he'll feel the same way.
Definitely.
I would love nothing more to see LeBron surround himself with a supporting cast reminiscent of what Kareem had his last few seasons in Los Angeles. I would love that. Love that.
I will bet you $5,000 on the air if he had that, he still wouldn't win.
Ouch.
That is a hater's take right there. That is what it is. That is a hater's take.
That's right.
You are a LeBron hater. I'm telling you that right now.
I'm not a LeBron hater.
You are. You're a LeBron hater. You sure are.
I have his rookie card graded Beckett 9.5.
That means absolutely nothing to me. Just because you own his rookie card, that means you're a smart business person when it comes to investments. That has nothing to do with liking somebody as a player.
I like him. I said that. I started the conversation with that. So you got no dispute, no discrepancies. Kings and Queens English. I'm not going to defer. I like him. I like him a lot.
I'll tell you what. I will be more than happy to continue this conversation with both of you on laying down the law this weekend.
That'll work.
We're off. We're off this weekend.
Of course you are. Of course you are.
Memorial Day weekend. They got to take a break.
No, they don't. Not if you're on every Sunday. You work through holidays. You do it. You work through. If you're on weekends, you work through holidays. All right. Listen.
Would you work on Christmas Day?
I have before, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're the man.
Back in the day. Back a long time ago. Long before I paid my dues, I used to work on
But let the listeners know, and I am speaking for Chris when I say this, we love y'all. I mean, y'all are like our first cousins. That's the best. So don't get it twisted. We're not saying, oh, my God, Adrian is just, you know, no way. Oh, Cappy's just, you know, out of his mind. We're not saying that. We enjoy the healthy debate, and I certainly want to hear why anybody thinks what they think. If you cut that off, you're not being the intellectual human that we're all made to be.
Eddie Morelos just tweets the show, thank you to Steve Foster. LeBron is not top 10 all time. So there you go. You have a follower. Congratulations.
Well, listen, it's awesome to talk about, and I love the different perspectives that we have with the four of us. And that's what I think. And at the end of the segment and at the end of a show, I hope the listeners have an appreciation for a variety of perspectives.
I think so, too. Chad just texted into the show, is Foss on crack? So, yeah, I mean, I like it. I'm getting like a whole spectrum of reaction to you on this phone call today. So, good job. Very nice.
Awesome.
Some people love you. Some people think you're on crack. That is fantastic. That's my kind of show. My kind of show.
I've never been close to crack, but I hear you.
Right. You notice nobody's bad mouthing me, right there, Stick Cappy.
That's true. Would you like them to?
No. I'm good the way I am.
All right, boys. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the holiday, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
See you guys.
Thanks so much, Adrian, Cappy. We love you guys.
Love you guys too. We could have spent 2 hours with them on this topic. You know, we could have done the whole show on this.
Yes, we could have. They wanted to.
I'm sure they did.
They wanted to.
They have. I mean, listen, I appreciate him calling in. It's nice. I was not expecting that. Was not expecting laying down the law to make a surprise cameo appearance today on the program.
I didn't think they would actually do it, but for all the texts that they sent me yesterday, I'm not surprised.
Oh, they blew your phone up and not mine.
They blew me up, yeah. I mean, I was getting the sweeps. I was getting the brooms. I was getting a lot of bad things yesterday.
I love that. All right, very nice. 20 pass. Come back with more right after Charlie 1 in traffic.
All right, welcome back to Sports Talk. Adrian Broaddus here. Want to tell everybody about the free water analysis that you can take advantage of thanks to our great friends at Clean Water of El Paso. What they do with you is they actually could sit down at your home based on your schedule and based on your availability. Clean Water of El Paso will do and conduct their free water analysis at your home. They'll show you the different bacteria and the problems in your current water as it stands. They'll show you your tap water or anything else that you have in your house, and then they will show you what their custom water system can do to your home and how they can build this, get a perfect water system tailored to exactly what you need in your home and also tailored to your budget. You tell them what you kind of have in mind for a budget for something like this, a water system, and they'll adhere to it with their quote that they'll offer as well. Take advantage of this free water analysis today online, cleanwaterofelpaso.com. Just put your name, phone number, and a message that you want to take advantage of this free water analysis today, or give them a call. They'll set it up with you over the phone. It's 915-856-0059. That's 915-856-0059 for Clean Water of El Paso.
Excellent. All right, as we continue here on the program, again, you want in 505-6009. We'll get you right on in and through to the program. We'd love to hear from you. Anything on your mind, now is definitely the time to do it. It's been a very lively start of the show so far. Been enjoying it and, you know, looking forward to see where this goes and what happens. All right, line ringing in. We'd love to get that with you as well. So 505-6009. Gets you into Sports Talk as we continue here on a Tuesday edition of the program. Meanwhile, the debate between, you know, LeBron and the all-timers and the all-time greats, you know, Adrian, I feel like people that watch today's game immediately will have a hard time putting anybody in the all-time great category. Doesn't matter who they are. Because the game has changed and it's evolved. And you know, there's a lot of people that just don't like the NBA these days versus the way it used to be. That's just what it comes down to. And the truth is, yes, it is a softer game than it was, because there's a lot of outside shooting, a lot of flopping, and things like that. They don't allow fighting anymore, which a lot of us used to enjoy back in the 80s when they would allow fighting. The game just evolved. It's what it is, you know? So, but I don't think it's fair to suddenly discount LeBron's career. I mean, the guy has been as steady and consistent a player throughout his career. But it's funny. I wonder if this was the argument during the Jordan years. And people were saying, you know what? Not the greatest player of all time. I'll take Russell. I'll take Chamberlain. Or I'll take somebody else. You know, that could have been the same thing too. So it's difficult when you see somebody dominate in this era and just don't believe that the era is the same now as it was 15, 20, 30 years ago when you grew up watching basketball or somebody else did.
Yeah, and you know, I just cap off this discussion. I just feel like some of this discourse is exhausting on all ends. Like if you're a Russell fan, if you're a Chamberlain fan, if you're an MJ fan, a LeBron fan, it's exhausting. Because, and that's where I'm coming at this and saying I believe, you know, just my opinion, LeBron is my number one. Mm-hmm. But I think everybody has their own. I think they're all entitled to their own opinion. I think you just have to appreciate greatness as it evolves over time in this sport in particular. Who has dominated a generation of hoops over time? LeBron, over two decades, has dominated the sport of basketball.
He has. You can't argue that. All right, let's get to some calls before we go to break. We'll start it off with Richard. He wants to continue the NBA discussion. Richard, how are you?
Hey, Steve. I'm doing well, guys. I love the show. Listening to it for years. Just
thank you,
wanted
Richard.
To chime in. Real quick, so yeah, I agree with you. The game, well, I agree with both what everyone's, I guess, talking about is the fact that the game is way softer. I have a daughter. We were watching a couple of the we've been watching the playoffs, but we started off watching the ESPN the Lakers versus Celtics, or the show they have on the Knicks, and then you go obviously the dance and the game, and she, like I said, she's not a big basketball fan, but you know what, she started watching and she's like, wow, the game was just more physical. It was faster. A lot of, they're driving in, a lot of defense was played, no flopping, hard fouls were given and taken. So I agree with that in a sense, like the I think the game is too soft now, but I also agree with what Adrian's saying is that you do need to have, I think the game has evolved, but where do you factor in the fact that these guys are taking breaks? They sit on the bench for a couple days on end or whatever it is. What do you call it? I forgot what the
load management.
Yeah, load management. It's like, give me a break, man. You know, look, man, you're getting paid millions of dollars. And the game, again, has evolved, but to the point where I'm an old-time, you know, all-time follower of the Celtics, love those 80s teams of the Celtics, Lakers. And you can go back into those days, and there's no other way to watch the game. It was just awesome.
Yeah.
And watching the game, you know, even the match with McGuire was just playing, when I got a chance to see him play is amazing, man. The game ad is boring. I can't even stand to watch a quarter. I watched a little bit of it last night just to see the train wreck, I guess, if LeBron did lose. The guy's great. He's awesome, but he can't carry that team by himself, man, and it's a shame. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I just wanted to just chime in and give you my two cents on that, Steve, and I'll listen offline.
Appreciate Thanks, the call. Bro. Yeah, and listen, I get it. I mean, it's hard. If you really enjoy watching, you know, basketball from 20 years ago or 30 years ago, and you try watching it now, it's a different game. I mean, it really is. Look, it's funny because you think to yourself, well, if LeBron and Davis were really the 1-2 punch that Jokic and Murray are, then, you know, all you need is a supporting cast like Denver has with Porter, Gordon, Brown, and Caldwell Pope. The Lakers don't have that. That was part of the issue. I mean, you know, the Nuggets, they've got six guys averaging double figures every game. The Lakers have about, what, three, four?
Right, and yeah, I feel like some of the supporting cast members, I mean, again, a lot of credit to Denver, a lot of credit for what they've done all season long and how they built this team. When you compare it with the Lakers, even just comparing it to the last Lakers title run when they had KCP on their team, they had Alex Caruso, who is probably on the same level as Austin Reeves right now, Kyle Kuzma, who is their third banana that year to Anthony Davis and LeBron James, a better supporting cast that year in their title run, which, by the way, they knocked off Denver. I completely disagree with Richard. I feel like the sport is really fun, really entertaining. You just have to understand all these guys have to try to play the refs. It's annoying. It's frustrating. It's tiresome. The flopping is ridiculous. I can't stand it.
That's basketball.
But that's what the sport has turned into right now. And you know what? On the other side, the victors with Denver, they still do it on their side too.
Sal brings up a great point, though. Jokic averages a triple-double. Murray drops 30 on average, but all anybody wants to talk about is LeBron. Did I miss something? Yeah, you know what? That just goes to show you how polarizing a figure LeBron James is in basketball.
Right, and how much discourse he takes up all the time. He consumes the entire narrative, the entire conversation. Mm-hmm. We led with the Nuggets. We talked about the Nuggets at the start of the show and gave them their flowers on what a great season it was. But what gets everybody interested, what has people calling in, is to talk either for or against LeBron. And we've been getting a lot of, you know, the approval rating for LeBron is out right now. There's just not a lot of people who are chiming and, I guess, excited about what he could do here in the coming years with the Lakers.
Good point. All right, we'll get to more calls in a moment. Rob is standing by, but first, right back to Adrian. He's next with a SportsCenter update. Adrian, thank you. I like this tweet from Enrique Ortiz. I'm tired of everyone comparing players to MJ. There will never be another MJ, just like there will never be another Kobe. LeBron is the next LeBron. But I wouldn't compare him to the all-timers. He's his own legacy. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that opinion right there from Enrique. I just, give him his flowers. If you're not saying he's in the top 10, I mean, come on.
Let's go to Rob. He's next. The Sports Talk continues, 505-6009. Rob, how are you?
I'm doing good, Steve. I wanted to, since my basketball season officially ended last night.
My condolences.
I have a question for you regarding baseball.
Yes.
I think the Padres fan base is a little bit divided. I think a lot of the fans think that they should hit the panic button just because of the way that they're losing, worst team in the league with runners in scoring position, lowest batting average, which was supposed to be the strength of their team. And then there's the other half of the fan base, which is kind of like, let's relax. It's still early, and essentially cream will rise to the top, and they'll be all right. Where do you sit on that debate? Do you think it's time to hit the panic button?
No,
I wouldn't
hit the panic button yet. And I'll tell you why. I mean, the Mets were in the same exact spot a week ago. They've won 5 in a row, and now they're 4.5 back of the Braves. I mean, all it takes is one hot streak. And right now, the Padres are up 2-0. Bogarts went yard already today. And, you know, the Pods, they're just two out of their last 10. But they won their last game. It could be a little mini winning streak if they could put it together again. And before you know it, if they're back at 500, they're pushing themselves into, you know, middle of the pack in the West, and they're not far back from the wild card. Now, you got to give this team a chance to really gel and develop. And, you know, I saw what they did last year. I still feel like this team is too good to be playing sub-500 baseball, but sometimes a team just needs to get hot. And once they get hot, it just takes off from there.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I thought the Royals losing 2 out of 3 to the Royals was at home was rock bottom, but they did lose 2 out of 3 to the Red Sox. So let's hope that this road trip with the Yankees, Marlins, and Nationals wakes them up a little bit.
No, I'm with you.
Thank you.
You got it. Appreciate the call. How about this? How about Julio Teheran getting a major league deal with the Brewers today? So Teheran was with the Chihuahuas the last month and a half. Going to find himself now a chance to pitch in the Milwaukee rotation.
Yeah, he knew, or his agent possibly knew, something that we all didn't. And as a result, he finds his way with a major league club right there. I mean, good for Julio Teheran. I wish he was still in El Paso Chihuahua. It was fun to see him.
It was. And sometimes, you know, the hardest thing is to understand is Julio Teheran is only 32.
Yeah.
He's been around forever. And he started when he was like 20.
That's a really interesting story right there. And, you know, to Rob's point about pushing the panic button right now, I could sense some reservations from him, maybe him siding with a little bit of the panic button meter going that way. One of the concerns I have is the Padres have to be a better team on the road. They have to be a better team when they're away from Petco Park. And with this Machado injury with him with the small fracture, let's see how they, you know, hold up without him here in this stretch.
That's going to be a good point. You also wonder if we're going to get Machado playing in El Paso in a couple of weeks before he starts coming back again. That could be a reality. Don't be surprised if the next big leaguer to rehab in El Paso is Manny Machado.
Man, what a season that would be when you look at it.
Unbelievable. Next up, the man, the myth, the legend, Tim Haggerty. He's back here. Final countdown coming up from the ballpark as Sports Talk continues.